It is good to be with you today, and man, I do believe that God has a word he wants to speak to our hearts and really encourage us in our journey. As, you know, I look around at the world that we live in this day and age, what a lot of people begin to talk about is I want to grow. I want to make progress, but I sort of feel stuck. I feel like, you know, life is coming at me. There's pandemics, there's economic crises, there's all kind of political things going on. There's challenges that come against my family. And I just really feel like I can't live in the promise that Jesus made in John 10, chapter 10, where he said, you know what, I came to give you life and give it to the full. It seems like everything is making me feel empty instead of feeling full. But I want to encourage you over the next few weeks that, you know what, God did not bring us out of bondage, out of slavery, out of sin, to not live in his promise. God did not create you to live in the wilderness, in the unknown. He created you to live in a promise, but oftentimes we live in the wilderness and we get stuck in the wilderness because we don't keep some things in the front of our mind. And today we're going to learn from God's word that if we'll just let him speak into our life as we make these different transitions, that we can live life abundantly. And we're all making transitions, right? Some of you have just transitioned out of the workforce and you've moved to this beautiful place called North Myrtle Beach, this region in South Carolina, and you just transitioned into retirement. Any retirees here today? Come on. Look at all of them. Now, God's got a plan for you. I'm telling you, I'm glad you're here. Some people have just transitioned from kindergarten to first grade and they started elementary school. Some people have transitioned from primary school to middle school, from middle school to high school. Some people have transitioned from high school to college. Some people have transitioned in their job. Some people have transitioned in their family, but we're all making transitions. And today we're gonna learn from God's word from a people who were getting ready to make a huge transition. God had made their ancestors a promise. And now Moses is preparing a people to go into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land with plenty of provision. And he says, God's getting ready to take you into this amazing promise, but you need to be reminded of some things. You need some counsel, because the previous generation, they had the promise and they didn't follow the counsel and they wandered around in a desert for 40 years. You know, I don't want you to stay stuck for 40 years. I don't want you to stay stuck for 38 years. And oftentimes people stay stuck in their journey because they just don't listen to these principles. And God has a plan for your life. Look at your neighbor and say, God has a plan for your life. And that plan is to make progress. It is to grow. Everybody say grow. When you stop growing, you start dying. And I know your body is aging, but God has created you to grow in your spiritual journey. And when you give your life to Christ, I want you to know that growth process never stops. It's eternal life. It's eternal life. So what has got you stagnant? What has you oppressed? Why is that depression on you? Why are you stuck in life? Is it simply because You're not listening to the counsel that Moses gave these people as they were getting ready to make this great transition? And we're going to learn today from the book of Deuteronomy. And I just want to start with Deuteronomy 6, verse 23. And this is what Moses told the people who were getting ready to cross over into this promised land. He says, God, he brought you out. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land he had sworn to give us, to give our ancestors. The New Testament writer says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to believers. He says, for you are a chosen people, a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result of this, you can show others the goodness of God. Look at your neighbor and say, God is good. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He moved you out of something so he can move you into something. He moves you out of slavery so he can move you into the promise. He moves you out of bitterness so you can live in his better plan. He moves you from being captivated by something in this sinful world, and he will take you on a journey and move you into an amazing promise where you can live life and live it to abundantly if you will just learn to listen to your Heavenly Father's voice. And so today, we're gonna learn how to move into this promise, no matter what phase of life you're in. Now again, as Moses is talking to these people had the opportunity to move into this promise 38 years earlier, but they didn't move into the promise because some people didn't trust God. They had been brought out of Egypt. God had said, look, I'm gonna take you out of Egypt, slavery, 400 years. I'm gonna take you into an amazing, amazing promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's gonna have all the provision you will ever need in life. It's an incredible land. Now this land was occupied by people. It had some huge cities in it. It was well established, but God says, I'm gonna take you a people out of slavery in Egypt, and I'm gonna take you into this land that is prosperous, and you're gonna become great, and you're gonna make my name great among the nations. They had the opportunity to go into this land, but they chose to not listen to what God was saying to them on this journey. 38 years earlier. Listen to what God says to them. And as Moses is kind of reminding them of some things that where the wheels came off in this previous generation, he says it this way in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. He says, when we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord God said to us, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. This is just right after they come out of Egypt. This is where God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses, and he's preparing them with his word to move into the promised land. And God says, look, you've stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on. Now God's telling some of you that today. It's time to break camp and move on. It's time to break camp and move on with my promise. It's time to move from where you are and move into the amazing, abundant life that I've called you to live. And then it goes on to say this, go up to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the neighboring regions, the Jordan Valley, the hill country, the western foothills, the Negev, and the coastal plain. Go to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon and to all the way to the great Euphrates River. Look, God says, I am giving all of this land to you. Go in and occupy it. Go in and occupy it, for it is a land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all their descendants. So here, 38 years before Moses is given the instruction to the people to go into the land, 38 years prior to that, God had already told them to move from Mount Sinai and move into the promised land. But they didn't get there for 38 years. And it was simply because they didn't follow God's instructions. They didn't trust God. They trusted him to bring them out of slavery, but they didn't trust him to bring them into the promise. I wonder how many of you have trusted God to forgive you of your sin, but not take you into abundant life. And I want you to know, he doesn't bring you out of darkness to leave you in darkness. My friend, you're not created to wander around in the wilderness. I want to say it this way today. We're not created to live in the wilderness. We're created to live in the promise. You can learn from the wilderness, but just because the Israelites spent 38 years in the wilderness, you don't have to. So let's learn from their experience so we don't have to live in the wilderness. In other words, they could have moved into the amazing promise of God shortly after they come out of Egypt. They could have went on into the promise, but they would have had to fight battles all the way along the way, and they would have gotten into the land, and there would have still been great things to conquer. They could have lived in that promised land 38 years earlier. Man, that's longer than some of you worked in the workforce. And they could have lived in this amazing promise and not wasted 38 years. So God has created us to live in the promise, not live in the wilderness. We can learn from the wilderness, but we don't have to live in the wilderness. And some of us say, well, it's just my wilderness experience. Well, let's come out of it. Come on, let's come out of it. Let's come out of it. Because God is a God who will do exactly what he says he will do. And my friends, there was a group of people that could have gotten there a whole lot sooner than they did, but they chose not to apply these principles as they were transitioning out of bondage into the promise. And again, anytime we're making a transition in life, going up, moving forward, it's time to move on. We have to remember some things, and that's exactly what Moses is doing to the people as he's preparing this next generation, because Moses is not going. Moses is not going into this same area they're going into because God told him he couldn't go. And again, it was because of the disobedience of the people, but he wanted to prepare these people to move into this promise and live in the promise in the fullness of God as they got into this promised land. And so the heart of Deuteronomy is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 12. This is the great reminder. And let's look at it today because, see, it isn't only a reminder that Moses spoke to the people getting ready to move into this promised land. It can be a reminder to your very life today. As you transition from one phase to the other, if you will take these principles from God's word and apply them when you leave this place today. See, this is what he says in Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 4. He says, "Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God and the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit." Everybody say commit. Yes. You must love God and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Look what he says. He says, repeat. Everybody say repeat. Repeat. Repetition. Repeat them again and again. Everybody say again and again. Amen. To your children. Pass them on. Talk about them when you were at home and when you were on the road and when you were in the middle of a COVID crisis and when you were, you know, in challenges, when you were going to bed, when you were getting up. And tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Lord God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give. He made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities. Listen to that. It's not just an empty land. It's not just a land with fruit. It's a land with large, prosperous cities. I'm gonna take you a people that's been living underneath the oppression of a Pharaoh of the Egyptians. He says, I'm gonna take you into this land, and it's a land full of prosperity. He goes on to say this, that you did not build. You didn't build the prosperity. It says, the houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. They're going to have some stuff up in them. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig. You didn't dig the wells. And you will eat from the vineyards and the olive trees you did not plant. Somebody else planted them. And again, God used what the evil put in this amazing land as a gift to give his people. He goes on to say this, when you have eaten and you have filled in this land, be careful. Everybody say, be careful. Slap your neighbor and say, be careful. Go ahead and slap them. It's okay. Say, be careful. Be careful not to forget the Lord. The Lord, the one who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. How often God has blessed us and we forgot the blesser who gave us the blessing. See, this is the challenge. God bless me. But as soon as he blesses us, we forget the blessor and we own the blessing, but we forgot the one who did the blessing. We forgot the one who brought us out of slavery. We forgot the hand of the one who reached in and put plagues on the Pharaoh, did something to the enemy, the one who was oppressing us, the one, we forget the one who made him let us go. We forget that it was God's hand, not our own hand. We forget that God used what the enemy built. He could use it as a gift for us. We forget all of these things. See, you know, the enemy may be building things all around you through people, and they may look prosperous. It may look incredible, but what I want you to know is technically, if you belong to God, whatever someone is building from an evil mindset, God can use it for good, and he can take you and he can move you into these amazing good things, and you can prosper for his name's sake. Today, we're gonna learn from what Moses told these people. Again, The generation before them could have moved there 38 years earlier. They just didn't apply these things to their lives. And the first thing that Moses reminds the people, because really that's what Deuteronomy is. It's a book that is a reminder. It's not just a book that has a bunch of laws written in it. It literally means second law. It means a reminder of what God has already said. A reminder of what God said earlier. It's a repetition of what God has said about himself. I want you to understand this. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. He's an amazing God. And from the very beginning, he has wanted to use human beings to bring his glory into this earth. When he created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Subdue the earth and don't let it subdue you. Other words, he says, govern the earth, take care of it, steward it, permeate my presence throughout the earth. It's why we exist on this planet. Is to permeate the goodness of who God is on this planet. The first man and the first woman, the wheels came off, they fell off the wagon, sin entered the world, and God, ever since, has been doing the same thing. He's been coming into people's life, rescuing them from sin, building them up, and taking them into the promise so they could spread his glory. And my friend, it hasn't changed. He is the same God. He is the God who wrote the Old Testament. He's the God who worked through the Hebrew people. He's the God who works in you. He's the God who sent Jesus into this earth. He's the God who redeems his people today. He's the God who calls us out of darkness and puts us into wonderful light. He's the God who will return to this earth. He is the God who will set up his kingdom here as it is there. He is a God who is doing what he says he's going to do. He is God. He is the Most High God. But we have to learn to follow him with our heart. We're created by God. We're not God. We are his creation, and he's created us to be in communion with him. But would you take his counsel today and apply it to your life? And the first thing I wrote down is this about what Moses says here in Deuteronomy 6, is we have to remember God's faithfulness. Has God been faithful to you? See, I know some tough things have happened in your life and along your journey because they have mine too. But if I really look back at my life, God has been faithful in the good and the bad. In other words, God hasn't changed. He's been a God who always wanted a relationship with me. He's been a God who has always pursued me. But really what Moses is doing to this generation of people as he's speaking into their life, and he says it there in Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 through 5. He says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God and the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. It is love God above all else. Now I know we say we do, but I wonder if you love yourself sometimes a little bit more than you love God when you wake up in the morning. See what's the first thing that begins to run through your heart and your soul and the depths of you? And again, not what you put on in personification that you put on in front of people, but do you really love God first? Because he's been faithful. See, one of the greatest ways to love God with the deepest part of you is to remember his faithfulness. The Bible says he is faithful when we are even unfaithful. And see, that's fascinating to me. I can be unfaithful to God. I can break the covenant that I made with God through Christ Jesus, and he made with me through Christ Jesus. But God, he is still faithful, and he loves me anyway. God's one that, you know what, I can basically commit adultery on, and there's whole books in the Bible about this, but I can basically run off with something else and not put him first in my life. You know what, God will receive me right back. He's faithful, even when I'm unfaithful. I just want to give you just a minute to reflect in your life, because it's a way to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not for what he's going to do, but for what he's already done. Because you'll love him more for what he's going to do when you remember what he's already done. Come on. I just want to give you a second to remember for just a minute. Remember God's faithfulness. When's the time in your life that God was faithful to you when you were unfaithful to him? Process that for just a minute. See, this is the challenge. This is the reason some of us can't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because we've forgotten about his faithfulness when he came to our rescue when we were in Egypt. And my friend, you know, I can think of some very dark moments in my own personal life. When I had broken relationships, when people had betrayed me beyond betrayal, and I thought life was over, and I began to think about all kinds of things in my mind. And I began to go my own way and search for things in my own power and all these things. And I remember the brokenness, and I'm just in my bed with my head in a pillow. I'm crying for days and nights, not sleeping, broken, but just bitter at the world. I wanted to fight everything that come in my path because I was hurt. You know, hurt people hurt people. And I was hurting everything around me. But God was still there. And when I cried out to him, he was faithful and he came to me. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you haven't had this bottom of the barrel experience in your own life. But I'm sure that you've seen God be faithful in one area of your life. You know, many of you in this room, you're on the journey and you're wondering if you could ever recover and what life has in store for you for the next 20, 30, 40 years here on earth. And can I tell you something? It can be lived alongside of God if you will love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You will be able to move forward and live in this amazing promise, but it all starts with loving God. But you got to remember his faithfulness. See, this is what I love about worship. Coming together as God's family. Because I can look at you and I say, God was faithful with Mr. Danny. Guarantee it. God was faithful with Estella. God was faithful with Lisa. I can look at many of you. God was faithful with Jerry. I can look around this room. God was faithful for me. And I can remember God's faithfulness because, you know what? I've seen what God is doing in your life, in my life. And it reminds me that God is not only faithful to me, but he's faithful to you. He's faithful to us. He's faithful to his plan. And I can remember God's faithfulness. This is why coming together is so important. You know, I'm all for technology. I'm all for watching it online. But when I can get around God's people, it reminds me of God's faithfulness. There's broken people here week in and week out. There's hurting people all the time. But it's coming together with people who have been hurt and love God and beginning to watch God do what he says he will do. God is a redeemer. God is a restorer. God is one that will come to your rescue. God is the one who will step in darkness and deliver you into the wonderful light if you would just love him. These people are getting ready to transition into a prosperous land. And Moses says, remember. Everybody say, remember. To love God in the prosperity with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He is faithful. Number two is, I wrote it down this way, because I have to commit to his plan and his principles. Look what he says. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, he says, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. See, God didn't give the commands to Moses to hold people back. He gave the commands to Moses to show them his character and how they had missed it life, but with his help, they could get it right. Understand, the commands were given not as a bunch of rules to keep people from the promise, but to help them get to the promise. So many people look at the Ten Commandments as just a bunch of rules that, you know, I can't keep. And the truth is none of us will ever measure up to the written law of God because it's God's very character, but it doesn't mean that God didn't give it because it is best for us. It is a good thing. And he says, look, commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these principles. If you want to live in the full life, follow after God with your heart. Some people are like, well, Jesus forgave me of my sin, but I'll follow my own heart. Your heart is deceptive. Your own mind is deceptive, but with God's help, and if you'll love him, he'll put a new spirit in you, a new heart in you, and he'll begin to take you on an amazing journey into the full life. See, he says, love God wholeheartedly. Love these principles. Commit yourself to the principles of God. I know we mess up. I know we screw up. I know we fail. But with God's amazing, unmerited favor, his grace, we can get back up and we can do it again. God's grace is sufficient to save us from our sin, but also take us into the amazing promise. We have to remember his faithfulness if we're gonna live in the promise. We have to commit wholeheartedly. And the next thing I wrote down in Deuteronomy chapter 7-9, I wrote it down this way, collaborate often. He says, repeat these things again and again to your children. In other words, pass them on. Talk about them when you're at home. Talk to others about them. And when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up, tie them around your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorpost of your house and on the gates. What he's saying is, you know what? Talk about God's goodness often. I wonder how many times we come in here with requests and we talk about how bad everything is. But we don't praise God for his goodness amongst the badness. Man, my life, I know yours is too, but my life is inundated with bad news. Continually. You turn on the TV, bad news. You go to work, bad news. You hear somebody's story, bad news. Well, there's good news. And the good news is this. We can live forever with God in the fullness of his promise through Christ Jesus in spite of the bad news. Bad things are going to happen, but God is still good among the bad things, and he is good news, and he will take you on the journey if you will begin to believe it with all your heart. Collaborate often about the goodness of God. Let's talk about what he's doing in people's life. Let's talk about, you know, how he's picking people up out of darkness and delivering them into the wonderful light. He's gonna take us on a journey. Let's move forward. Let's talk about these things often. It's not one day, it's today. And he says, man, here, when you get up in the mornings, repeat them again and again to your children. You know, what I've found is oftentimes when I'm, and I really think it's just because of, you know, my lack of not being able to do things. When I have to teach things, that means I have to study. I have to dig. And so when you have to teach your children these things again and again, guess what it does? It causes you to dig. It causes you to study, not just recite a bunch of stuff, but to study and begin to understand. And repetition begins to help me understand a certain things. This is why it's good to memorize scripture. You may not understand it the first time you read it through. You may not understand it the first time you say, but as you begin to meditate on things, you begin to teach things, you begin to understand, you know, oh man, this is true. This is God. This is the nuance. And it helps you understand. Make it a habit to talk about God's goodness. Make it a habit to talk about God's goodness. So many people talk about how to conquer bad habits. What about how to get good habits? It's the same way you get bad habits. You just do it over and over again. Do the good thing over and over again. Do the next right thing over and over again. Some people say, how do I conquer my addiction? Start doing the right thing over and over again. Start trying not to make a plan for the next 20 years. Start making a plan. You know what? Today, I'm gonna get through today. I'm gonna get through this hour. I'm gonna get to tomorrow because God is good to me today. He has met me today where I'm at. I'm gonna get through it today. I'm gonna do it tomorrow. I'm gonna repeat it. I'm gonna repeat it next week. I'm gonna repeat it next month. And if we talk about God's goodness enough, guess what? It's gonna get in our hearts. And it's going to get in those around us. See, we have to collaborate often about the goodness of God. The last thing out of this passage I wrote down, because I do believe many of us are trying to transition with the goodness of God, but I wrote it down this way: don't forget. Don't forget your first love. Don't forget the one who does the blessing. I love this, Deuteronomy 6. This is the downfall. It is a land, with large, prosperous cities. And he reminds them, Moses says, you didn't build them. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns that you did not dig. And you will eat from the vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill in the land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. So see, God's goal in the rescue, God's goal in blessing your life personally and us corporately, is to be a blessing for his name's sake. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. And see, what we often do, and God's given us many ways, multitudes of ways, to measure how we're doing in this area. Money is one of them. And I'm not here, I'm not the preacher that always stands up here and tells you to give me your money. But I'm telling you right now, money is a tool. And money can do great things. But if money captivates your heart and you just hoard the blessing and you don't release it and let God work through the blessing, then it will take over your life. And that's exactly what God is telling these people. Look, I am giving you this gift. It's an amazing gift. You didn't do the work. You didn't dig for it. You didn't build the houses. You didn't put the stuff in it. I'm the one that blesses. But the danger, God's warned, Moses has warned, the danger is when I fill your life full of blessing, you forget who I am. My friend, it's what happens in people's life often. God blesses them in a powerful, powerful way. And then they start hoarding the blessing. And they forget that God said, look, Abram, I'm going to make your name great so you can make my name great among the nations. Keep in mind, the reason God is doing what he's doing in our life is to get in us, bless us. God wants you to enjoy those blessings. But he also wants to work through those blessings in other people's life. People who aren't even like you. People who don't look like you, who don't act like you, who don't come from the same background as you. What God wants to do is he wants us to be a blessing. Why? Because it reflects who he is. He's a blesser and he wants to bless their life. And my friend, I invite you into God's plan. But sometimes it's very difficult to live in the promise, because when we live in the promise of God, that means we have to trust God with everything. See, that's what God's really after, is that trust relationship. He's after for us to trust him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. But sometimes we'll worship the creation. We'll worship this earth. We'll worship the things in this earth. And we forget about the one who created it. We're just stewards. And we're walking on this journey, and God is amazing. And he will fill your life full of his goodness if you'll trust him. I wonder how many of us aren't growing in our relationship with God because we're simply not trusting him. We're not trusting him for who he says he'll be in our life. And my friend, if you need to turn that around, I want you to know that God will meet you right where you are. Can you bow your heads, please? See, I don't know where you are today. Maybe you've never even started a relationship with God. Maybe you're living in utter darkness right now. I want you to know today that God will come to your rescue. Those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And my friends, just say, God, I'm tired of being in this spot. And today, I'm ready to move on out of darkness into the wonderful light. I'm tired of living in bondage, and I need to live underneath your promise. Say, God, today, I want to thank you for the cross. I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you for the blood that he shed to rescue me from death, sin, and the grave. My friend, it's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. All you can do is receive it by faith, is what the scriptures say. And just tell God, thank you for that gift. And let's move forward. Let's keep moving on. Maybe there's others of you in here today and you need to pray a prayer something like this. God, you rescued me from my sin. I thank you for the salvation of Jesus, but I've become stagnant in my relationship. I'm not living in the promise, the fullness of who you say I can be. And God, today I'm ready to move forward. I'm ready to trust again and I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to commit myself to your house, your plan, your purpose, and walk in the fullness of it. Say, God, today I surrender my life back to you. And I need you to come to my rescue. And I need you to take my hand and lead me. My friend, commit to God because he's already committed to you. Commit to him that you're going to love him, that you're going to trust him, that you're going to follow him. And you're going to live in the sweet spot of who he's created you to be in his amazing promise. And you're going to commit to never forget him. And you're going to be a blessing. That's the charge that God gives each and every one of us on our life. Let me bless you so you can be a blessing. Until God, today, you commit to be that blessing as he blesses you. And do what you say you're going to do. And see what God will do. I pray all these things in Christ's most holy and precious name. Amen.